Shalom Aleichem, Rabbeisai. Moving closer and closer to Har Sinai. So let's begin, Bezras Hashem. We're going to learn Shemois Yud Tes, Parshas Yisroi. Shemois Yud Tes, Pasuk Beis. I hope that you've learned Parshas Yisroi other times, so you're not itching for us to cover ground. Let's see. So last week we talked about the first word in the pasuk. The first pasuk in the perek, which describes the Jewish people arriving at Har Sinai, and we described Hashem's great excitement for that moment. Hashem was, so to speak, waiting there eagerly, and even more than that, the way the Or HaChaim expressed it, it was like there was this divine focus on Har Sinai from the beginning of time. You know, like when you are looking out the window and waiting, you're expecting someone to come, and you're looking out the window and waiting, or looking out the peephole. So there was this divine focus from the beginning of time on Har Sinai, almost like, when are the Jewish people going to get there? And therefore the pasuk jumps and says, it was at this time that they actually arrived. So now, setting aside what we discussed last time, let's approach pasuk beis and see it slowly. Vayisu me'Refidim. They traveled from Refidim. Vayavayu midbar Sinai. They came to midbar Sinai. Vayachanu ba'midbar. And they came to the midbar. Vayichan sham Yisrael neged ahar. And Yisrael camped there opposite the mountain. We already mentioned last time, we're going to repeat now, that Chazal, there are three drushes alluded to in this pasuk. What happened at Refidim? If you remember, what happened at Refidim was the battle of Amalek. And Chazal say that the term Refidim is from the term Rafu. They had become lax in their Torah learning. What Torah learning was there before Matan Torah? There was Torah learning. They were busy studying everything that they knew about Hashem at that point. But okay, whatever it is, the term Refidim denotes that they had grown lax a little bit. We can imagine what it looked like. They came out of Mitzrayim with very, very great vigor. And as time goes on, you start lowering your resolve a little bit. We said there were these 49 days, and they attacked these days with vigor. But then it started relaxing a little bit. That was when Amalek showed up. Okay, now the Or HaChaim here says, in this pasuk, says something very profound. He says that this pasuk, pasuk beis, contains three elements, three conditions, three prefaces of Kabbalah Satera. Kabbalah Satera, we understand, was not just in terms of the historic event, but in terms of anybody who really wants to be a recipient of Torah, who wants Torah to settle on him and to become ingrained in him. So first of all, he says, Vayis'u me'Refidim. They traveled away from Refidim. They traveled away from Refidim. Meaning, in Refidim, they had grown lax in their Torah learning. Now as they approached Har Sinai, they understood that they have to now be coming with a vigor, with a vigorous attitude. You want to connect to Hashem, and you want to him to give you his Torah, you have to be ready to dedicate yourself with vigor, with passion, with enthusiasm. Hashem is not interested in a lackadaisical people. Hashem wants people who are going to be vigorous and energetic in his service. So that's number one. Vayisum Refidim, they traveled away from the attitude of Refidim, and they reinvigorated themselves, and when they came to Har Sinai, they were raring to go. Then, Vayachanu Bamidbar, they came to the Midbar. If you remember, we mentioned last week the other drasha of Chazal, that they came to the Midbar means that they assumed the Midbar attitude. The Midbar is a hefker place. It doesn't set down boundaries. There are no boundaries in the Midbar. It's trampled by all. A person who really wants Torah to be able to settle in him has to be ready. The way Chazal put it is, Mesim Atzmoike Midbar. that he renders himself like a midbar, ready to be a doormat. Does this mean that a person should be a doormat? Not necessarily. It's not our subject now. But we will say this. A person has to be capable of deciding to be a doormat sometimes. Should a person be a doormat inherently? No. But you know what? When you are capable of standing up for yourself, and then you acquire the ability to be a doormat when you so decide, that's a very, very great virtue. So the ability to be a doormat. Humility. To be like a midbar. And then, so that's condition number two, humility. And we'll elaborate on what the significance of this is. Vayichan Sham Yisrael Neged Ahar. Then we have the famous drasha of Chazal. Yisrael, it's said in the singular, and he, Yisrael, camped there. Chazal say, this is Klal Yisrael, in the ultimate state of Achdus, Ki Ish Echad, Belev Echad. They were as one person with one heart. And this is condition number three for Kabbalah Satayra. Achdus. Achdus. Oneness. Unity among us. Now, why are these three so important? The first one we understand. Now, the second two, it's important we understand that these are very great virtues. Humility, the ability to look the other way, to lower your head. And of course, Achdus, we understand that these are great virtues. But we have to understand that these two are things that directly affect the reality of Hashra'as HaShchinah, of letting the Shechinah rest upon you. The purpose of Torah is, and the purpose of learning Torah, and the purpose of living Torah is because we want Hashem to rest on us. Torah carries Hashem. Performing the will of Hashem brings about Hashem Himself. Studying Hashem's will and integrating it into your mind integrates Hashem into your mind. Hashem is in his Torah. A person who lives Torah is living, as the Chazal said, the term that's used is, he's a merkava l'shechina. He's a chariot for the Shechina. The Shechina is riding on him. Now here is why humility is so important. If you want to be a true chariot for the Shechina, you have to be in a real place. A person who's full of himself is obviously not properly conscious of Hashem. A person who senses Hashem's presence in a true, real, profound way is humbled. He's incapable of sticking himself out, of putting himself forward, because he feels just completely awed in that presence. And therefore, the Shechina rests more readily on a humble person. Chazal tell us, and this is actually halacha, a person who walks with his nose in the air, because he's acting as though the Shechina isn't there. I want to make a point here. This is a very profound point to understand. Humility is a subtle midah. What does humility mean? Humility means thinking that you're nothing? That's not what humility means. Chaim Salvavitz says that there's something called just shiflus, lowliness. Lowliness as in, I think I'm worthless. I think I'm absolutely nothing. And the Chavis HaLavis says, that's not something we admire. If we were to admire it, then he says, take an ox. You'll see, I guess today it's not such a common scene, but in earlier times it was common to see a 7-year-old boy, 8-year-old boy, barefoot, leading an ox, a big, heavy ox, I don't know how many thousands of pounds, through the street on a thin little string. Now, why doesn't that ox, okay, sometimes you have an ox that will go out of control, but in general, they're docile. Why doesn't that ox just trample the boy and run off to freedom? And the answer is, the Chavis HaVavis says, there's something very admirable about that ox. He's humble. He does not know that he has the ability to do that. He doesn't know that he has the ability to do that, and therefore he doesn't. Now, if anava simply means not believing that you're anything, so we should hold that ox in very great admiration and use him as a role model. But we don't, because that's not what anava is. Anava doesn't mean lowliness. Anava, on the contrary, true anava comes after an appreciation of who you are. What is Anava? And here's really the profound point that brings out what the why Anava is considered such a great sublime midah. The mashal for Anava is as follows. Imagine if you have a I'll give right now just a crass mashal. I'll give a crass mashal in order to keep it simple and short. We won't get into the finer aspects of it right now. But in order to keep it simple and short, imagine you have an eighth grade class. In an eighth grade class, the boys' class, who's the best in the class at basketball is a question of very great weight. And if you have the undisputed champion of the class, so it's clear, everybody knows, he's the best at basketball in the class. And that's a very, very important status. And now let's say one day, it shows up in the cheder, the NBA superstar, okay? I remember who it was when I was growing up. I won't say his name. I won't bother saying the name in the context of a Teresh here. But if you, when I was in Chicago one time for half an hour on connecting flights, you saw him in every single store in some form or the other. Imagine he shows up in school, okay? All 7 feet of him. He shows up in school, and he says, "Who here can play basketball? What a good basketball game! Who can play against me?" So one of the kids runs up and says, "Oh, Zundel! He's the best kid in the class in basketball. You should play him." Now, if Zundel's a half intelligent kid, he's going to go hide. He doesn't want to be identified now as the best kid in basketball when he's standing in the presence of one of the superstars of basketball. Right? He's just going to be, if he has to actually show his skill now, he's going to be completely humiliated. So, yeah, Zundel knows that he's good, but it's not when he's in the presence of this man. When he's in the presence of this man, he's keenly aware of quite how not good at basketball he is, and quite how much more there is to grow in basketball. This is what Anava is. A person knows his worth, etc. But you know what? When he's standing in the presence of Hashem, he's embarrassed to even think it. He's embarrassed to even think it. And he's certainly embarrassed to feel superior to others, because then you have him standing next to Hashem. Okay, fine. So you're a millimeter high, and the other person is 3/4 of a millimeter high, and you're standing in front of a giant who's 3 miles high. So you're going to look up at the giant and say, "Hey, me and you are taller than this other guy?" That's what Anava is. Anava is that very, very keen awareness of the presence that you're in. That's why Anava is such a profound midah. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu was the greatest Anav of all, because this was the man who most keenly lived in Hashem's presence. So therefore, Hashras Hashchina very much depends on Anava. Because the more a person lives in Hashem's presence, the more Hashem is interested in relating to him and in resting upon him. So this is condition number 2 for Kabbalah Satayra. Anava, a sense of humility. And that's why Achanuba Midbar. They rendered themselves like the Midbar. But we're going to come back to this. There's more to this. But now, the next condition is Vayichan Shem Yisrael Keneged Ahar Achdus. Achdus. Achdus, as well, is a fundamental condition for Hashras Hashchina, for the Shechina resting upon the Jewish people, or, on a more individual level, for the Shechina resting upon an individual. Why? Why is that so fundamental? And the answer is, the Maharal talks about this very often, this is a big theme in Maharal, that the Torah was given to a klal. The Torah was given to the Jewish people as a whole. It was not given to the individual. It was given to the individual to the extent that he is a part of that klal, of that complete unit. So, the understanding here is that the more a person is blended in with Klal Yisrael, the more compatible he is, the more capable he is of Ashras HaShechina. Now, We want to add something to this. We want to add something to this. What do we mean when we say that the Torah was given to a klal, and therefore Achdus is a condition for Ashras HaShechina? The Jewish people, and here we're going a little bit deep. The Jewish people, this is a theme we've spoken about often. The Maharal talks about this at length, and it's discussed in other Sfarim. The Jewish people are the reflection of Hashem in this world. We are meant to represent Hashem in our lives, meaning through our actions we demonstrate Hashem's presence, the things we do and we don't do because He's there. When we go and we daven, the Ramban says how we daven with a lot, with noise, how Pesukei Dezimra is supposed to be noisy, because we are demonstrating, we're making a statement to the world out there, there is a Hashem, and that's what we're here to declare. When we say Kadosh, 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 the whole Tzibur says it together, Bezos Hashem, soon will be Zoyche, the whole Tzibur says it together loud, we are, all the Malachim are busy saying that in the Shemaim, here in Olam Hazeh, we're the ones making that declaration, we are the ones saying, there is a Hashem, and advertising Him here in this world. And it goes further, Hashem advertises Himself, so to speak, through us. By the miracles that He does to us, He shows that He's here through His Jewish people. Hashem manifests Himself in this world through His Jewish people. People want to see Hashem in this world. Hashem demonstrated Himself at Yitzias Mitzrayim, in other situations, through the medium of the Jewish people. So it goes two ways. We are Hashem's representative, both in terms of He uses us to demonstrate Himself, and we are actually demonstrating Him. We're as ambassadors demonstrating Him through our lives, through our actions. Now, if we are Hashem's representative, then the one most fundamental thing that we know about Hashem is that He's one. And therefore, Klal Yisrael is also one. What does it mean that Klal Yisrael is one? It means many things. But for our purpose right now, what it means is that Klal Yisrael have to be a single unified unit in order for Hashem to rest on them. Because He'll rest on something that's compatible with Him. He is Echad. He is Echad. He is not a million. And therefore, He doesn't want to be splintered into a million parts. If He's going to rest on the Jewish people, he wants to rest on one entity, not on something that's splintered into a million parts. And therefore, the more, if the Jewish people are united, strongly, tightly bound together, Hashem will rest on them in a profound way. If the Jewish people are splintered, so Hashem can't really settle down. Think of it, kiviyachol, lahavdil, in practical terms. Like you want to sit down on a chair. You know that it's a little shaky. You're going to sit down gingerly. You're not really going to put down your full weight on it. And certainly if you know that it could actually break apart. But for social reasons, you have to make it look like you're sitting. You're not even really going to sit. You're going to be kind of like balancing yourself, looking like you're sitting, but you're actually not even, you might not even be touching the chair. So if Klal Yisrael is a splintered Klal Yisrael, Hashem has a problem resting on them. If Klal Yisrael is a unified Klal Yisrael, then Hashem can rest on them. If we understand that the purpose of Kabbalah HaTorah and the purpose of Torah is to bring the Shechina upon us, then we understand why these things are so fundamental. A, you have to be ready. If you want to be a carrier of the Shechina, you have to be very energetic, ready to dedicate yourself to the cause. B, you have to be humble. You have to allow Hashem to shine through you. Not if you're just going to be there putting yourself out, then Hashem doesn't want to rest on you. Hashem wants to rest somewhere where He can shine, not where you shine. And if you let Hashem shine through you, you'll shine even greater. But not where you are busy putting yourself forth. And number three is, again, the Achdus. The Achdus that Klal Yisrael, when they are tightly bound together, it's that much more intensely that Hashem is able to rest upon them and to settle on them. So these are the three conditions that Klal Yisrael had to meet in order to really be zeichet to the full Ashras HaShechina at HaSinai. Now, Bezras Hashem, Bli Neder, tomorrow night, we'll discuss how this happened, how they just came to Midbar Sinai and automatically moved into this state. That's the next level of the discussion. We'll stop here for tonight. We will end the recording and unmute, and we'll part.